Yeah.
Mara got 2 goals and an assist last night versus LA.
Did they win?
No, it was a tie.
I'm not going in today. So you're going to have to...
Philip and Elizabeth Jennings are an attractive suburban couple in the 1980s. Pure yuppies right around the time the word yuppie was coined. They've got 2 kids. They run a travel agency together. They live in a nice house, absolutely standard issue, all-American, upscale people, except that Philip and Elizabeth are actually Russians, KGB spies for the Soviet Union. They are characters in a very good show called The Americans, which is just about to start its 3rd season. And it was created by a former American spy named Joe Weisberg. I talked to him last winter. Joe, welcome to Studio 360.
Thank you, Kurt. Great to be here.
So, when you worked at the CIA, I was a friend of your brother's and didn't know he had this interesting brother, and I employed him. He is a famous liberal. Your parents are famous liberals. So was becoming a CIA agent an act of rebellion?
That's funny. If you ask my brother, that's the story he tells. And I don't think I can really say it's not true. I don't know that I was conscious of it. I wasn't thinking I'm going to rebel, but I'm sure something like that was going on beneath the surface. You know, in my head, what was going on was I took a course in college called History of the Soviet Union, taught by a guy named Wolfgang Leonard, who had been an East German. And it really influenced me, and I started becoming more and more of an anti-communist and more of a Reaganite and wanting to fight the Soviet Union. And I think that started tying into the past where I had read a lot of John le Carré novels and wanted to be a spy, and it all sort of came together. And
so you recruited people here, right?
No, I went through the training program, which is a very long and involved training program, and I did a lot of assignments in headquarters on different desks, and then I ended up leaving before my first assignment abroad. I never recruited anybody.
And how come? Why'd you quit?
At the time, what I sort of told myself, I had a lot of personal things going on. My father had become ill. I took a leave of absence to go take care of him when he was dying. I sort of went back after that for a summer, and I just felt that I kind of lost my desire to go live abroad and do this job. But as I look back at it now, I think I'd really lost faith in what they did, that I had seen firsthand the kind of people they recruited and the intelligence they provided, and that it was all kind of BS, that the agents weren't worth anything and the intelligence they were providing was not valuable to the U.S. government. But what you really did do to collect that intelligence was ask all these people to really risk their lives for a lot of nothing. And I think I was kind of unconsciously aware of that and didn't want to do that job.
As a CIA operative, you had to lie a lot. And then you started writing fiction. Lots of fiction writers have talked about that fiction is a matter of lying professionally. Do you see that kinship?
It always felt completely different to me. I actually wrote fiction from the time I was a kid. I started when I was about 12 years old. I wrote my first short story, somewhat troublingly called The Midlife Crisis Exploits. I still worry about that a little bit. But I never felt like I was lying when I wrote fiction. I just felt like I was telling stories and in a lot of ways trying to get at the truth when I was telling stories. But when I joined the CIA, I had a lot of concerns about it at the beginning. I thought to myself, can I actually lie to people about what I do, about my job?
Like your friends?
Yeah, my friends, although a couple of people in my family knew, nobody in my extended family knew, and can I lie to them, and will I be able to do this? And then I joined and I started, and it took about a month, and then I was just completely used to it. I never had any doubts about it again. It just became part of me, and I lied all the time. Every day I was lying constantly. It just became really second nature.
Beyond what you needed to do because it got so easy?
I wouldn't say I went overboard, but I would say as opposed to some of my friends in the CIA who were sort of more insular and only hung out with other people at the CIA, I was put in a position where I had to lie more.
Interesting. So 4 summers ago, a whole bunch of Russian secret agents living in American suburbs are busted. How long was it before you thought, that's a TV show I can do?
I didn't think it and never would have thought it. What happened was probably even just a few weeks after that incident, my phone rang. And it was 2 guys named Daryl Frank and Justin Falvey, who are the heads of DreamWorks Television. And they said, I was working on a show then called Falling Skies, a science fiction show that they produce. And they said, Joe, what do you think about developing a television show based on this? The honest to God truth is I thought in my head, I don't think that's such a good idea. But, you know, when the heads of DreamWorks Television call and ask you if you want to develop a TV
suddenly,
show,
maybe it's a good idea.
That comes out of your mouth. What is in your head doesn't matter. What comes out is, yeah, that's a great idea. And I started wandering around the streets and thinking about how to turn it into something. And I don't know why it took 2 weeks, but after about 2 weeks, I thought, oh, well, you got to put in the Cold War.
In addition to being a thriller and a spy story, It's also about this strange marriage where the couple doesn't really know if it's a real marriage or not, or what version of fake or real it's supposed to be. I want to play a clip. This is where Elizabeth confesses to her husband, Philip, that she's had an affair with an asset of theirs named Gregory, a former Black Panther.
When we got here, I was 22 years old. I was living in a strange house in a strange country with a strange man. And I met Gregory, and he was passionate about the cause. He was passionate about everything. He was passionate about me. And he didn't even want anything. He just believed like I did. He was the first person I felt I could really talk to. And I needed that. It just happened. It never really happened that way for us, did it?
No.
That was Matthew Rhys and Kerry Russell in a scene from the first season of The Americans. Joe, did you start with a clear sense of how real the characters' arranged professional marriage was supposed to feel to them, or do you go back and forth as you write more episodes and then get deeper into it and discover more?
We have a clear sense that the marriage is the centerpiece of the show. And during the 15 years of backstory of this marriage, that a marriage had been arranged by the KGB, and that from the moment they met, which we showed in the pilot, Philip had been really in love with Elizabeth, and that she had not really shared that feeling for him, and that throughout the first season, they are trying to have a real marriage for the first time because her feelings have changed.
And meanwhile, both of them are using sex with assets and potential assets as part of their jobs, which of course complicates the real marriage they're trying to forge.
Yes, of course. And their ability to compartment that or not is one of the interesting things in the series. And also, one of the things in the show that is based on historical fact that seems like it might be a TV thing, but really the KGB encouraged their officers to use sex to gain intelligence information. And perhaps most startlingly of all, you know, there's a spoiler for anybody who hasn't seen the show. You might want to start humming for just a second. But Philip eventually marries his asset, Marcia.
Who is a secretary to an FBI official.
Exactly. And KGB illegals actually
did
that. They actually married women. It was called usually secretaries to important men who the KGB wanted information from. So the KGB illegal would marry the secretary without the secretary having any idea the person was a KGB illegal. These marriages lasted for years, and the men would get intelligence from the secretary.
I'm glad you told me that, because I really did think, yeah, nice. No.
Yeah. I wish we could have made that up.
Huh. So many spy shows and movies these days are all about technology and these computer devices and GPS and cell phones even. Is not having to deal with that make it easier for you to plot or harder or both?
It's much better for our storytelling for a couple of reasons. One is that there are no cell phones, so they can't solve a problem by picking up the phone. Philip can't pick up the phone, call Elizabeth and say, get out of there. And if you watch TV shows, there's a cell phone. I mean, in every crime or spy story, there's a cell phone in everything. It solves everything. It creates problems. It solves problems. We don't have that. So in a way, it's good. It makes the stories more complex and richer. But I also think that the espionage tradecraft of the early 80s, and this tradecraft is still in use. It's not like it doesn't exist anymore.
How they follow and how they lose people
exactly,
who are following them and all that.
Surveillance, yeah. The counter-surveillance, the dead drops, the brush passes, all this kind of classic espionage tradecraft is just more interesting. And again, they still use it now, but it also now they have computers and you can send things through encrypted email and things like that that solve a lot of these problems or alternate ways of doing things. You couldn't do it back then. And that's the tradecraft I studied. And it's just more fun. It's more visual. There's nothing that visual or interesting about, sending an encrypted email.
Francis Rations, Visiotech Security.
Come in.
Can you check my credential fully, please, sir?
Of course.
A few weeks ago, the Department of Defense mandated a top-to-bottom security review of all private company contractors in the ballistic missile defense program. I'm going to need to ask you a few questions, sir.
Now, any script you write, as opposed to other people who write scripts for the show needs to be read and approved by the CIA. Is that a pain in the ass? Has it been a pain in the ass?
Earlier in my career, when I was writing certain things, I did have some trouble with this process. I, for example, one time wrote a treatment for a show and sent it in to the Publications Review Board, which is a part of the CIA that handles this. And they just wrote back, you can't do that. So now in the end, I was able to sort of make some changes and massage it and work it out with them. But over the years, I started to figure out what types of things they have problems with and what types of things they don't. So the process has been very, very smooth on the Americans.
What kinds of things would they say no to?
I don't write anything about cover because I know from experience that details about – or about CIA cover, details about how cover is used.
Meaning the fake jobs that people have.
Exactly. Details about that, they won't let anything by. I never mention it. I can mention it like this, but I wouldn't go into any detail with you or talk about that at all because that's one of their real sore spots.
You're starting your new season after the Winter Olympics in Russia. Is that – going to be good for you as people are thinking about Russia and thinking about this newly belligerent, Putin-esque, kind of pseudo-Soviet Russia?
Well, you know, the moment it struck me that I realized that that was all coinciding, I thought it was pretty great. And we're going to have some commercials on during the Olympics. And I thought, oh, it's all coming together nicely.
It's all – Putin is helping you. It's all part of a cross-promotional marketing plan.
I wonder all the time what Putin would think of the show. I can't figure out the answer to that.
Well, I look forward to this new season and keep making good shows.
Thanks so much, Kurt.
Joe Weisberg is co-creator of The Americans. I talked to him last winter. The third season of the show starts on January 28th on FX. My DVR is set.